Hi, this is Diane, and it is Tuesday, May 9th. I'm here with a noon group. So far, we have Jessica and Martha. So let's start with check-ins and celebrations. Who wants to go first?
Well, I guess I will, Martha. I hadn't been on in a while. It's just been kind of status quo around here. There's not been a lot of change. My son Robert is still, pretty well lost this school year. But he's maturing, and I'm really just thankful in seeing the success that where we used to clash a lot, we're now really able to communicate and try to respect each other more, and he's showing a lot more respect and cleaning his room to, you know, get the things out that he, you know, if he takes food to his room, I've told him you can't take anything back there if you're not going to bring it back up. It can't stay in your room. So he's been really responsible for doing that and doing a lot more of his independence around the house where he'll get his own food and take care of himself around the house.
That's awesome. And I know that's been hard for you to kind of balance that whole sort of school versus home versus, you know, where are you going to celebrate the successes? So how do you feel about how you're handling it, Martha?
I feel good. I mean, I still have all those concerns that you naturally will have as a parent, as a mother. But just knowing that he's going to be okay is where that's what it boils down to. And once you can get to that point, and again, you know, get past your judgments, which will be today, and your expectations, then it's a little more relaxing just to watch my son grow up into who he is going to be.
It's great. Jessica.
My check-in is just things have been, you know, their usual roller coaster, but nothing catastrophic or bad. Just I was celebrating success yesterday that the house was pretty out of control with our piles and our messes. And as an adult with ADHD, I am a big part of the problem there. And I'm working on taking just a little piece at a time. So I went up with my daughters and I said, I know your room is really messy and I'm not asking you to clean your whole room. I'm just going to ask you to pick out your outfit for tomorrow because that caused a little bit of a meltdown that morning. I said, so we don't have to worry about that tomorrow. We'll have the outfit picked up and we'll deal with the room when we have time. And amazingly, just being up there together and helping them, they actually cleaned their whole room and picked out their outfit.
That's awesome. That's
it was
awesome.
Great.
Yeah, makes sense. As you were talking a little bit before we got on here with the recording about your daughter in school, is that a place where you want to take aim today, or do you want to take aim on something else?
I think I want to take aim on that because I think as a family we need to figure out truly what her plan is for next year, even though, you know, we really have until the very end of the summer to, you know, you can say no at the last minute and there's a huge waiting list and someone else will take the spot. It's not an issue from that perspective, but we don't really want to not know the plan that late.
Yeah, so I guess the question is, as we're having the conversation today, specifically, where do you want to take aim?
I would like to take aim on preparing conversations to have with my daughter and finding those moments when we can have them.
So is there particular conversations, or it's just those more collaborative sort of, we have to talk about and problem solve together around something?
Yeah, anything that has to do with discussing her having any kind of difference or struggle is a big conversation. She
okay,
essentially
so,
refuses to have them.
Mm-hmm.
She
so
just
like
won't
behavior,
have them.
Behavior change conversation-ish kinds of stuff, is that what you mean?
Or even behavior acknowledgement
Got
conversations.
It. Okay. So behavior
yeah.
conversations. Okay, great. Martha, where do you want to take aim?
I am not real sure yet. I just definitely was finally here to be able to get on the conference and saw what time it was. Instead, usually it's like 1 o'clock when I find out, when I realize what time it is. So I haven't really thought about it. I was just listening in and just looking forward to today when you talk about the non-judgmental.
Well, so I guess the question is, so I'm happy to have you wait until later to kind of decide where you're taking aim, but I'm curious when you started, when you were like, oh, we're talking about non-judgment today, what's the first situation that kind of popped into your head as you thought about this idea of non-judgment?
Well, it's always an issue with me, or to me, it's kind of in that realm because you use similar techniques of not judging someone as the same as not jumping to conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been growing and learning and not jumping to as many conclusions. And so I just think that's why I'm not sure where the aim is. It's just a matter of keeping that up, you know, because
okay.
we'll talk about it. I'll hear about it. I probably have heard all of it before, but when you hear it again, it's fresh. And then you have a whole new perspective because there's more experience in your life to relate it to. So
yeah,
not jumping to a solution and not jumping to a conclusion. Yeah.
Right. So not jumping. So you've got three things you don't want to jump to. You don't want to jump to a solution. You don't want to jump to judgment. And you don't want to jump to a conclusion. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah,
so
stop jumping.
Stop jumping. Get off the trampoline, Martha.
Right.
Okay, well, so let's just kind of jump into our topic, and then I'll loop back with you if that's okay.
Okay,
sounds good.
So this non-judgment thing, so I always say that this is my favorite topic. I don't know whether it is or not. I have like 26 favorite topics, but because I love what we talk about and what we cover in this program. But I know for myself that judgment has been a lifelong challenge, and it's a lot of it has been like my judgment of myself. I always hold the bar really, really high for myself. And I always have. My mom says, "Oh, it's not, nothing we did. You came out of the womb like that, Diane." But it's the reality is that a lot of times it gets in the way of relationship, and that's why this is one of those positivity areas to focus in on. And the minute we kind of judge something as and we typically it's about judging something as bad. I mean, technically, a judgment would be if you judge something as good, it's also a judgment. But it's those kind of demeaning judgments that tend to be the ones that get where we get stuck and get in the way. It really does kind of create up a wall. I think that our kids feel the energy of that judgment. We feel it sometimes triggers them. It sometimes triggers us. But I think that it's that sort of natural reaction we have, oh, this is bad. I have to make it stop, as opposed to kind of coming back with a more neutral reaction, which is, okay, this is my reality right now. And I was working with a client this week, and we were having this conversation specifically and said, okay, so instead of looking at the grade sheet and saying, okay, oh, my gosh, she's failing two classes, and that's not good, you know, if you shift that to say the reality is right now he's failing two classes, you know, how does that give you more ability to problem solve, more ability to collaborate, more ability to not – you know, jump in and rescue. I mean, all those things that we kind of teach and focus in on in this program, if we can stay out of that place of judgment, it often gives us more space for other stuff. That's the things that you were talking about earlier, Martha, the things we don't want to jump into. We don't want to jump into solutions. We don't want to jump into, assumptions. I mean, all of those things we can do more easily when we don't throw up the judgment flag.
Right.
And so I'm curious what comes up for the two of you guys as I'm talking about this topic of judgment.
So for me, my mom and dad say a very similar thing. You know, I'm one of four kids, but I'm the only girl and the second oldest, but I kind of fit both the middle child and the oldest in certain ways. And so they always said, you know, we never had to be hard on you because you were so hard on yourself and your expectations were so high. And they just were like, so we never said anything because we didn't need to. And that I definitely find that I am being judgmental and hard on my kids when I don't even realize it, that I don't, until I really step back and say, oh, my expectations are way off. I need to, you know, dial this back and settle down. And then when I really look at it, I realize I'm sort of judging myself, you know, what kind of parent am I if they can't do these things? And, you know, how is this not happening? And so the more I'm aware of it, the more I step back, but, you know, there's still a lot of self-flogging going on quite frequently that I'm working hard at stepping away from. But I know it translates over, and my kids at times feel it, and that's certainly not what I want them to feel.
Well, that's a huge awareness. I really admire your willingness to kind of be transparent about that, because, you know, what you're saying is that it's that self, it's that high expectations that you've had for yourself are leading you to say, I shouldn't have kids like this, or my kids should be able to do better. You know, it's that shoulding all over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes from more, it feels like it's almost less about them and their performance and more about, you know, the image you had created for yourself at some point about what your kids' life would be like. Is that fair?
You know, I think it is, but I think it's even a step of, I never really thought about what my kid, it was just more of, if I'm involved in something, it's supposed to be at a really high level or a really high standard, like, and my kids just sort of lumped in there, you know, it's just the expectations that I have that, like, you know, it kills me that, like, neither of my kids seems to be an athlete, and both my husband and I are athletes and have been all our lives, and I coach them, and they're pretty disinterested and terrible, which I'm fine with, in that I keep offering them, you know, yeah, you don't need to play, but that they show up and, like, kind of give it half an effort kills me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So that, well, and it's hard. I think that's the piece of it, is that we do have these expectations, and it's not easy to kind of let go of them. I actually, just the blog I just wrote for next week is on this topic specifically, so it'll be interesting to see what you guys think of it. Martha, what comes up for you?
Pretty much same thing, that you know, the more that you're judging and you're just a judgment, you know, you find yourself kind of being judgmental, then I think that I get back down to it, that it's really that I'm really being hard on myself. And that if I'm going to judge how they should behave or act, then it's kind of the reflection on what I expect of myself, and that's like realizing that is what it's been the journey on, is like, why do I think this or expect this? And then it's kind of both ways, because, you know, the living your life through your child, you know, you could never do it, you wished he could, or because, you know, the same thing, you know, you could, and why don't you? I mean, it's just, I don't understand, you know, the just try harder kind of thing where you're judging. It's like, it's not, you know, it's not a difficult test. Well, or you go, it's not rocket science. Well, it might be to the person that's never done it before.
Right. So it's, and it ends up being this transference of judgment when it's really about us and our performance.
Right.
What's coming up for me is, Jessica, you said this earlier about kind of your kids' reaction to your judgments and the fact that, I don't know if either of you guys were on the webinar we did about supporting versus enabling. And we were talking about kind of how to get buy-in and how to get, you know, our kids, you know, that state at which we want things to become more our kids' problem than ours. And if there's this, underlying sort of voice in our head that says that our kids' performance is about us, how hard is it for us to really say, this is, I'm gonna help my child to make this their problem and not my problem? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what would that look like? So you're sitting there and you're having a conversation trying to, you know, transfer ownership of homework from you to your child. What are some of the noises that get in the way of that?
I know for me, and this is what I have trouble understanding is, it's obviously so difficult, or it must be so difficult for her that she can't see success because she seems to not care about doing better than she is.
Mm.
And she's only 9. She's in third grade. But there's no pride there. There's no drive. There's no – she doesn't seem to feel good about – how she's done, even when she does well. And mm-hmm. So just trying to understand that, because I have always been pretty competitive. And, you know, it hasn't always served me well. So I'm not wishing that for her. You know, there's a lot of times I got an A, but I didn't actually learn and understand the material. I memorized it to get the A.
Yeah.
And I don't want that for my kids. I want them to be truly curious and learn it and go with what interests them, but I can't find anything that interests her yet.
Yeah, well, but so part of what is occurring to me as you're saying that is the skill and the executive function deficit that is present. So
yes.
That, you know, the ability to project forward in time. So part of it is kind of our kids have, you know, now and not now. So their ability to kind of
yes.
go, okay, I'm going to look forward and say, okay, what will it look like when I'm done with this? What will success look like that? And then, you know, and their ability to kind of, you know, move through a process and think through a process moving forward. I was listening to a podcast this morning. They were talking about this tool where you go forward in time and you create a visual image of what it looks like to be successful. And I'm wondering, is there some teaching tool? You know, so part of what we talk about is the fact because our kids weren't able to and ready to learn some of these things when they were teaching them in school, you know, is there an exercise or a fun sort of something that we could do with our kids to kind of help them to visualize success and kind of, you know, fast forward. And so it's kind of like, and just play with me here, Jessica, a second. So, you know, imagine yourself, you know, this afternoon or tomorrow afternoon when you turn in this paper, what, you know, is your teacher going to be smiling? Where are you going to be putting the piece of paper when it's done? What is she going to do when she hands it back to you? What are you going to see on the top of the piece of paper when she hands it back and it's done? Are you going to see a smiley face? Are you going to see a blue color of a grade? You know, whatever it is that kind of connects her to a future event. I'm wondering how that might help and play out, where there's a gap in their ability to kind of move things forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it right now is that her third grade homework, it's really very reasonable. You know, she does have a teacher that I think does a great job. So I'm trying to think of what I could even have her visualize. It's really like, I don't know when, you know, I don't always know when they're having a quiz on what they've been reading, but, you know, every Friday they have the spelling quiz for the words of the week. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, vacillates between getting 5 wrong out of 15 to getting only 2 or 3 wrong out of 15. But I don't think she's ever gotten less than 2 wrong, you know, for the entire year, which is not bad. It's fine. But I think she would probably feel good or proud if she got them all. But I don't want to put pressure on.
So on a scale of 0 to 10, how proud is she of what she does do?
Like a 2.
Okay.
Like it really
so,
there's
so this, go ahead.
I was just saying she, you know, whether she's gotten 5 wrong or only 2 wrong, you know, even when we, you know, say, you know, and we try to praise the effort, you know, and notice, say, you know, remember this week we really did do a little bit extra on those challenge words and it paid off. Look at that hard work. But it's almost like flat affect, regardless of whether she got 5 wrong or only 2 wrong.
So tell me about a time when she's been really proud of something, anything. Really excited. Her face just lit up.
These are hard for me to think of, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's so guarded. I would say, you know, so she does sewing, and she loves the sewing. And I know that simply because, you know, it's one of those, she's constantly asking about doing more, but she's made amazing things. She made a full hooded sweatshirt with a pocket in the front and gave it to her younger sister last week. And it looks like it could have been purchased at a store. And she was proud, but not even, like, there's still something. It was like, oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it just, she doesn't like when we make too big a deal. But, you know, my parents happen to be down, her grandparents, so I showed them. And, you know, she seemed pleased. You know, they made a big deal about how amazing. But I don't see that real light up.
So get curious for a second. What are a couple of things that might be going on for her?
That she thinks we're just making a big deal because it's something that she's pretty good at and it's not school, so she kind of is devaluing the praise.
So meaning that she knows that she's not doing what you want her to do someplace else, and so she sees it as a backhanded compliment? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, or not backhanded, but like we're overdoing this thing because we think she can't do the other stuff, potentially. So, or, yeah, I don't know. Or just the classic, you know, we're making a big deal, but of course we are, you know, we're her parents.
Okay. What else might be going on?
It's so easy for her that she really is like, why are they making such a big deal?
Okay.
Like, this is what, the teacher even said when I showed up to pick her up. She said, oh, Miss Independent over here didn't wait for me to help her with this part or that part or whatever, just finished it herself.
Right.
And I think she just loves it, and it's easy, and so what's the big deal, maybe?
So what role does judgment play in this whole process, Jess, because you're thinking about her and her ability to kind of focus on what's working?
I mean, I feel like I'm judging her because I find her strange.
Right.
Like, I very often just find myself, I just don't get her. And yeah. I think I judge her because of it. I find myself looking at her like, wow, she's odd. like, and I don't really know, like, what if I had 20 minutes to do something special with her, it's going to, I have no idea what she'd want me to do, but I'm 99% certain it would be something I really don't want to do and something kind of odd.
Yeah. Well, and there's this fine line here because there's part of you that's curious about whether this is just the way she is and she's just got more of a neutral affect. And then there's part of you that's kind of like, well, is she holding the bar for herself really high? And that's, you know, and that, and maybe she's feeling like she's not delivering. And so there's an opportunity to build her up a little bit. I mean, you're kind of stuck in between the two of those. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what if you wanted to focus on both?
Sort of both what it could
allowing
be.
Her to be allowing her to be neutral and making sure that you were boosting herself as much as you can.
Yeah. It would probably
would
help
like?
Us both. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the allowing her to be neutral would look like. You know, we have started trying to do like high and low of your day, or because they both my girls tell us absolutely zero about anything
right.
of their day. And last night she, I don't know, because it wasn't. It got a little cool in the middle of the day, so my husband asked, you know, oh, so how was recess? And then she kind of got animated and told us how she played football at recess today with, she named like 7 or 8 boys from her class, and she was the only girl, and she scored 2 touchdowns. And we're like, what? Like, she doesn't even usually like sports. And, you know, that was pretty interesting.
How did you respond?
You know, we said, oh, that's great. You know, where didn't any of your other friends want to play? And she's like, no, not today. And I was like, wow. And so I said, wow, you scored 2 touchdowns. That's impressive. And she's like, it's really pretty easy. I was like, okay.
Interesting. So, Martha, what's coming up for you as we're chatting about this?
Well, the I don't know that I've ever thought of Robert as being strange, but maybe it's because I recognize how much we are alike. so I understand. But we've just backed off and let him kind of have his freedom. And yeah, I've seen some successes, and it's just the fight not to judge, because it's. To me, it's too slow. There needs to be, you know, more action on getting him towards going to school and getting back on the path and being social. But at the same time, it's a new world, and that's what I have to remember, that I'm in a place that never been before, and the kids are out there today, and knowing that Robert's in a huge number, he's not special or all alone, because there are a lot of these students that have problems in schools today and need other alternatives. And I'm fascinated at how hard the school, you know, the teachers that do care are trying so they can reach these complex kids. And then, but I just, it's never been done this way before, is another one of those like judgment calls. So when he's just, you know, trying to let it just go at its own pace, and that's all I know, is it's just hard not to judge. And that's where it just had to be the freedom of let it go, because that's what it is.
So what do you tell yourself in that moment? So this kind of reminds me of the whole trigger management thing. It's like in order to let go of judgment, mm-hmm. whether it's about moving all the way to just letting it be the way it is, or just kind of moving a little bit from judging to, you know, being curious or questioning or whatever kind of the other thing we want to do besides judgment. What's the thought you need to put into your head instead of the judgment?
That to try to just stop and say it's okay. It is okay. And then I kind of go back to the very beginning when it's like he will not be wearing a diaper when he's, you know, when he goes to college. Okay, you know, it's he's slow getting through his you know milestones maybe at the beginning, and it seems like it's going on, you know, forever, you know, because it, you know, when they're young and you're a new mom and you don't know, you know, time frames, and then you're judging based on other people and other materials like books and things. So it's sort of the same situation now, like I was saying, is realizing this is new ground. Mm-hmm. And the research is being done now, so that's why there's nothing to really have a basis. Nobody's got any concrete evidence on how to move forward, or in this particular case, as many know, there's not going to be a one-size-fits-all. And so trying just to stop myself and just to say it's going to be okay and move forward, just you know, move forward and accepting. And I have a very good friend that has a son that's probably always going to need someone to take care of him. You know, mm-hmm. he's kind of a lower functioning, but I don't see that as Robert. And if it does, then that's okay too. We will just deal with that as it comes. But that's one that would be harder, is if he's not coming around, because he's brilliant. He's a genius. He's before his time, you know. So if he's before his time, then I got to let his time come. So I just keep waiting.
Right. Well, and so mm-hmm. what you're saying is that, you know, that your calming word is it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica, what's yours? What's that phrase that you say to yourself that's going to shift you out of judgment into acceptance or curiosity or wherever that other place is?
I very often just look at her, I think about her, and I think she's amazing. Mm-hmm. She's an amazing kid, and she's sweet, and she's a great big sister, and I do truly believe and know that she's going to be fine. Like, these are bumps in the road that or trying to help her navigate. So, yeah, I just step back and say to myself, she's amazing. She's amazing kid.
Well, and I think that it's awesome that you can do that. And I think that's what my challenge is to everybody who's listening to this, is kind of to go back and find what your phrase is. And for me, the original version, because it was a long step from this is terrible to my kid is amazing, was a big jump for me at first. And so, you know, it was more like, even though my child is getting an F in band class, I'm willing to consider that he'll be able to figure out how to do what he needs to do to be able to get in a career of his choice. You know, so it's that
yep.
even though this is my reality, I'm willing to consider that this can also be my reality. And I needed a kind of two-step process to be able to continue to hold a vision, because there's that part of me that wanted that, you know, you were talking about setting those future expectations for yourself. There's part of me particularly that, like, wants those expectations, and not everybody's like that, but it enables you to kind of hold the vision and accept the reality both at the same time. So how does that hit with the two of you?
Yes.
What is it about it that feels good for you, Martha?
That it's just knowing the end result, that he's going to grow up and be, you know, I just know he'll be a responsible adult.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had greater expectations of him being, you know, like the world's greatest architect or engineer and making, you know, huge strides and this sort of thing, you know, any of that kind of stuff, it may not happen. And that's another thing with my brother that had now, knowing what we know now, I recognize he had learning disabilities, but my dad seemed to always get it, and he just accepted my brother anywhere he was. And it used to drive me nuts that my brother was just so willing to accept and just to go with average or whatever he could get, not really having a lot of ambition to me. And then my dad just said, you know, his life might not look great to you, and it may not be the life you would want, but it's his life. And this might be just what he wants. So, you know, that was just huge to help me remember that and to know, okay, it doesn't have to be what I think.
Mm-hmm. The thing that just kind of popped in my head to go back to was this whole judgment of ourselves, because both of you guys reflected on the fact that part of what this is about is, you know, wanting to succeed yourself. And so I guess the question is, if you want to move more in a place of acceptance and reality and less judgment, how do you do the same thing for you that we're talking about doing for our kids?
Yeah, that gets tougher.
So what do you think?
I guess, it's just acceptance.
Jessica, what comes up for you?
I think, I sort of laugh. I try to laugh a lot in terms of, I remember the first time it sort of crystallized for me that when I was struggling with staying at home, with my kids, and I was finally able to articulate that, I was talking to my mom, and I said, I've never felt as ineffective at anything I've done in my life than I feel as a mother. When just you've got no control, they're human beings, and once I said it out loud, I realized how funny it was, you know, like that this wasn't a job. Of course I'm not controlling them. But it's also a reality, especially if you've been working your entire life and worked outside the home and have had a career that somehow shifted either drastically or at least marginally after having kids, complex or not, that there's this shift. And, you know, a little bit I've been helping myself accept that, you know, to play to my true strengths, like I've started to pick up a little more work, a little more things outside the house that feed my soul and my person a little more than packing lunches and doing third grade math.
So hang on a second. Can I stretch you a second?
Yeah.
So give me three things that you might be willing to consider are a measure of your success as a mom.
My kids, and it still surprises me every day when they leave for the bus, they're running out the door and they always turn around and say, love you, mommy, unprompted. I don't say it first. They just say that. And with a big smile. And, you know, so I clearly am doing something right there.
Okay. So your kids say I love you every day with a big smile on their face, no matter what happens.
Yes.
Okay. What else is a measure of your success?
That they... that they, let's see, they're healthy and happy. I don't know, like, they are.
You started to say healthy and happy, and you stopped. What happened?
Well, I can't really take credit for the healthy, right? Like, they aren't. I mean, I can't, that's not a measure.
Is that a measure of success? I mean, you want your kids to be healthy and happy?
Yeah.
They could be.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, and that they're great, they're great sisters, and they're great cousins, and they're great friends.
So they have really strong relationships.
Yes.
Okay. So if the measures of success is your kids are, like, enthusiastically tell you how much they care about you on a daily basis. They're healthy and they're happy, and they have strong relationships in their life. Is it about remembering those milestones? Is it about letting go of the rest of the stuff? Is it about focusing just on, you know, those things that you really can control? What do you think is most important in terms of managing that judgment in your head that says, I'm a terrible mom. I'm not doing a good job.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I think really focusing on that they're, the strong relationships that they have and letting go at the end of the day, you know, I think there's nothing more important to get us to make us happy in this world than the relationships that we hold.
Mm-hmm.
So just focusing, on that and letting go the little stuff.
Well, and I think that that's the piece of it, is it because the world tends to measure the little stuff, and we tend to measure the little stuff, and we get into this habit of getting our magnifying glass out to look at the little stuff. But I think that that's the question, is kind of how would it help all of us to kind of really look at what we really, really, really at the core of everything. I mean, why do we want our kids to have good jobs? We want them to have good jobs because we want them to feel at ease in their life. We want them to feel happy in their life. I mean, it's not about the money piece of it. It's about how they'll feel when they have the money. It's like, we want them to have good relationships. Why? So that they can feel like they can connect to people. You know, it's that connection. It's like, so if we focus on kind of the what we want to feel underneath the accomplishment, I'm curious about how that shifts the judgment even slightly. So, Martha,
well,
any thought on that before we close?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess as she's going over the things that she has done, it's like, look at the successes instead of the small things that you just, when you're looking at, the underlining, I want this, but what I really want is security and love for, you know, for your child. Well, are they getting that? Well, yeah, my son knows he has, you know, he's secure knowing that he is loved and that he has a home and that, you know, and so therefore, just changing it to check, you know, yeah, he does have these things. And this is how it's manifest today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you take that the next step and say, how does this reflect on me? What changes?
It can boost your self-worth and your attitude.
Yeah.
That you're not just, you know, why am I even here? you know, because I've got two men in the house, so, you know, there it's like all they want is a maid. You know, I feel that way in a lot of days. And it's like stopping and looking and recognizing that's my job right now. And that's how I'm fulfilling my part in the family and therefore it becomes more fulfilling and not such a grudge. Although I am still trying to say, hey, if you guys would just take these jobs, these chores on, I would be free to do some more of this work. Because, yeah, there's quite a bit of clutter around here.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. All right. So let's do our wrap up. So I'm on page 53.
Yes.
If you guys are in the workbook with me. So what did you focus on or pay attention to today? What's your clarity? What's a takeaway or an aha you had? What's a realistic action step for you to take? And how do you set yourself up for success? So take a minute, jot down some notes, and I would love to hear from each of you at least an aha and an action item. Who wants to start closing us out?
I will.
Go for it.
And I'm guessing that most of our attention to this today, the thing that I was paying attention to was the judgment being your own expectations. And so I'm looking at my expectations. And then clarity and takeaways like, well, then what is the real goal? You know, that not that he is, in school, but that he does get an education. So finding the way for him to get his education. And then, you know, you want your child to be healthy, happy, successful, you know, and writing out a physical list. I was thinking of just write all the things that I want and then checking off each one that he does have. And then that's probably going to be setting me up to succeed, that there are more checks than I think there are. Because
there's more what?
Robert
there's more
tell
what?
Me, more checks that there's more to be, you know, that he's really just done better than I, you know, worry about that I'm failing. No, he's there. He's right where I want him to be.
Yeah. And so what, you know, what, when you take that and take a deep breath and you think he's right where he's supposed to be, what happens to that judgment?
Then it keeps wanting to fight the world and the everything that's been there before and the picture of how, you know, the perfect family looks or the, you know, how your child goes to school. I mean, it's the law, you know, but it's just a matter of how he's going to get there, you know, so it's going to happen. And, you know, thank God there hasn't been any repercussions from the legal side that we have been able to be able to meet requirements at that, you know, with his, you know, his needs and things, that there's a tolerance there. Mm-hmm. That it's not like he's being defiant as much as there's a limitation with the, you know, executive functions and the stress levels and just his being to where he can handle it.
Yeah, that makes sense. How does that feel?
It's been, you know, it feels good. And so, yeah, whenever it's not feeling good, I have to stop and get back there.
right. Well, and then that's the new phrase, right? So it's going to be fine, or whatever it is. You said it's going to be
right.
Fine. Is your phrase? So.
Yeah,
cool.
It is
awesome.
Going to be okay.
Going God to be
is
okay.
In control. It's going to be okay.
There you go.
Jessica, what about you?
So I guess, you know, focused really on, you know, being honest about how hard I am on myself and in turn how hard I can be on my kids, even if it's internal, which it's not always internal because
mm-hmm.
some of it sneaks out. And my takeaway is that I really just need to get more interested in what interests my daughter. You know, I would never say outside of this group that I find my daughter strange. I just feel safe to say that here. But I don't want to find my daughter strange, and I need to put in a little more effort at what truly interests her, even if it seems bizarre to me, to really just get in there to her amazing little world. And so my action step is just, you know, the next time she does that, you know, mommy, I want to show you this game I'm playing that I found, you know, that I truly stop multitasking or whatever it is that I'm doing. And even if it's 5 minutes, just truly give her that time to listen to her and to try to see what a little bit of what she's seeing.
I love that. So how would that feel for you to have that 5 minutes of connecting with her and what she's interested in?
I think it would probably be a little freeing, you know, that I'm not, you know, I feel like I don't have time. You know, I've got to make dinner. I've got to do this. I'm trying to clean up these papers. And that to give myself permission to just stop and give her this time, because we both need it. So that feels good.
It does. Awesome. Great. All right, ladies. Thank you so much for the call today. Great talking to you both. And look forward to the next call. So next week, there's a Lifeline call. It's a Lifeline call next week. At lunchtime on Tuesday. So say this time on Tuesday
mm-hmm.
is the Lifeline call. And then we are back on for the 23rd.
All right.
All right, everybody.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, ladies.
All right.
Bye.
Okay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.